It is now 6 o'clock, and I'd like to call the August 4th, 2022 Planning and Zoning Commission special session to order. Roll call, Ms. Kona.
Commissioner Bergsma?
Here.
Commissioner Nichols?
Here.
Commissioner Outlaw Ryan? Here. Commissioner Posey?
I'm here.
Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Here.
And Chair Gamble is excused. Let the record show we have a quorum.
Please stand with me to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Welcome and good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight, and welcome our newest commissioner, Kimberly Outlaw Ryan. We are happy to have you here to look on forward to your commission. I know now that you're to review the housekeeping items. The restrooms and drinking fountains outside, out the doors to the right. There's no public hearing in the agenda tonight. If you do wish to address the commission during the call to audience, please fill out a blue card that are labeled in the back hand on recording secretary. Let's move to our call to audience. Let's see. Do we have any other blue cards? If not, I have one blue card here, Ruth Thomas.
Thompson.
Sorry, Thompson. Okay. Let's. And the council liaison is not here at the moment, but I do see the mayor that is here. Do you have anything for us? Thank you, Your Honor. All right. Agenda item for review. I have a review of the order of business. We'd like to proceed with a list of on agenda. Agenda item one, Ms. Okona.
Review and approval of the June 7th, 2022 regular session meeting minutes.
May I have a motion?
Yes, Vice Chairman. I move to approve the June 7th, 2022 meeting minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Agenda item number two, Ms. Akona.
Discussion and possible action regarding a conceptual site plan, regarding a conceptual site and landscape plan for a proposed 64-lot subdivision known as Naranja Trails, located south of Naranja Drive and Highlands Wash intersection, approximately a quarter mile west of the North First Avenue.
For this item, I'd ask for a motion and a second to go into an executive session for a brief.
Vice Chair, I move that we go into executive session.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and move to executive session.
Mr. Chair, we do need to vote to go into executive session.
Okay. All in favor for executive session?
Aye.
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 We'll come back for a brief, after a brief moment.
Mr. Chair, coming into executive session will be myself as the civil attorney, Mr. Bayer Vela as the planning manager, and of course, Ms. Ancona as the recording secretary.
Thank you. We'll be back shortly. We're going to adjourn our executive meeting and we're going to reconvene in our regular session.
Mr. Chair, that generally requires you to basically have a new roll call.
Ms. O'Connor, would you give us a roll call, please?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Here.
Commissioner Nichols?
Present.
Commissioner Outlaw Ryan?
Present.
Commissioner Posey?
Present.
Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
And Vice Chair Harrington?
Here. Thank you for that short brief delay there. We had to receive a little legal advice on agenda item two. And let's go ahead and start with staff presentation. Mr. Vella.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Commission. This evening, I will be presenting primarily the zoning aspects of this case. And Mr. David Laws, our permitting manager and representing the town engineer, and also as a registered engineer, will be presenting the key elements relative to drainage, traffic, and grading. And with assistance as needed during question and answer by Mr. John Spiker, who is our stormwater manager. All right, let's get started. So the applicant is proposing a some 64-lot gated single-family subdivision. And the majority of those lots are about the 7,000-foot range, along with three custom lots toward the southeast corner of the site. Mix of one and two stories. The Pima County-derived number of 34 feet is a building height zoning permission. The applicant has agreed to limit height to 24 feet. Two access points. Naranja Drive, Shore Cliff, as exit only. And we're going to talk a lot about engineering tonight. Most cases, I would say, are before you are 90% planning discussion and perhaps 10% engineering discussion. Tonight, that's flipped. And I think the reason's obvious. A subdivision's being proposed in a wash. And part of that, we're looking to control drainage from the proposed development, but also better the current drainage situation, which is being experienced by the Highlands Mobile Home Park. As with all conceptual site plans, we're here to ask the Planning and Zoning Commission to provide a formal recommendation. The vote tonight is a recommendation to Town Council, who will likely, if actions taken tonight by the Commission, consider this, I believe, on September 7th. Neighbors will be notified of that date by postcard, and the signs, yellow signs around the property will be freshened with that new date. Again, that's if the Planning and Zoning Commission takes action this evening to provide a recommendation. I think everyone's fairly well familiar with the location of the property. We're not far from Naranja Drive and First Avenue, and bounded by Naranja Drive and Highlands Mobile Home Park. I want to talk a little about history and where we are in the development process. I think it's really important to understand that, I'm going to oversimplify this, that the development process really can be broken down into three phases. The first phase, and perhaps it's one of the most important, is the zoning phase. That's whereby zoning is assigned that gives a property owner rights, legal property rights. And the zoning phase is a very serious one because once those rights are granted, they can't be taken away. The second phase, which is the site design phase, which is where lots are laid out, roads are engineered, slopes are examined, and drainage is evaluated to make sure that it comports with that zoning and fits within the context of those zoning rights, and a design is affixed in this phase. And the third and final phase is construction. So where we are this evening is that second middle phase. The challenging aspect from a zoning perspective, and I'm sure the neighbors feel this way, is the fact that the zoning and property right was assigned back in the 1980s. So whether or not a subdivision should be here, the yes or no was determined back in 1986 by Pima County. So that is now, despite how a rational person might feel about building in a wash, that right was granted in 1986. So our charge as staff during this phase two of as the property owner exercises that right to make it the best that we can make it. So a little bit more in history. Sorry, I flashed a little bit too far ahead. The plan on the left is the plan along with zoning that was assigned in 1986 by Pima County. You can see the outline in blue. And to the right is the applicant's proposal. So that 1986 zoning established the shape and the general layout. It was essentially what's commonly known as a tentative development plan. Where we are today is creating a site plan that's more specific, has more engineering, that's being readied once approved by council for construction. And I use that word approved on purpose because in some design, some ultimate design, the town has to approve a design in order to legally line up and respect the property rights previously granted. All right, I'd like to, at this point to really get into the meat of it by introducing Mr. Laws to walk us through the drainage aspects of what's being proposed this evening.
All right, thank you, Beyer. So as Beyer mentioned, I'm going to touch on drainage, a little bit of grading, a little bit of traffic. So we'll start with drainage, more at a regional scale. The image in front of you shows the Highlands Wash, which is a locally administered floodplain, meaning it's not managed by FEMA, so it's a local floodplain. You'll see on the image there's a black and white hatched area. That's a proposed regional detention basin that'll be put in place with this project. That basin does a couple things. Number one, it captures runoff from the new subdivision, thereby not allowing it to increase flows into the Highlands Mobile Home Park. Secondly, it provides some benefits to the mobile home park directly by doing a couple things. Number one, it captures drainage through the wash. It holds that water. It releases it in a controlled fashion, and it also collects sediment. One of the things the town will be doing with this basin is we'll be taking over control once it's constructed by the developer, and we'll be cleaning that basin out, monitoring it, making sure that it's functioning as designed. The basin is really part of a project that the town has been pursuing for years. We've been pursuing grants to improve the Highlands Mobile Home Park drainage way. So this basin actually represents phase one of those improvements, something that we've already been looking at over a period of time. We do have a current grant application in process right now to help with phase two of this project, which would be additional improvements through the mobile home park to increase capacity and to remove existing homes from the floodplain as they sit currently. This image, I'm going to start looking more or talking more about the actual subdivision. This image is kind of the northern half of the subdivision. The yellow star represents the existing box culverts that are underneath Naraha Drive. The yellow arrow represents the direction of flow through those culverts. So flow along Highlands Wash is from north to south. One thing of note, you'll see on the right image, that yellow star shows the location of the culverts. You'll notice that Naraha Drive is not a bridge. I've heard a couple questions and comments about Naraha Drive being a bridge. It's hard to see when you're driving down the road because you do have steep embankments, but it's actually a road built on fill. This is the southern side of the project. Again, the hatched area is the regional detention basin. The yellow star on the right represents the area where the water will be leaving the detention basin and entering into the Highlands Mobile Home Park engineered channel that is there currently. So that will not be changing. So the question, how do you build a subdivision within a wash? That's not a unique situation. We have that in a lot of areas. We have new subdivisions up in Rancho Vistoso that are similar in concept. Those are generally built along the sides of the washes. They're elevated and protected along the bank. So when we look at this project, there's a couple things that'll happen. First of all, the dirt that's removed for construction of that basin will be utilized to raise the subdivision above the water plane, the floodplain surface. So that blue line that you see on the picture kind of represents that subdivision being elevated. The west side of the project will include hardened erosion protection, which is typical of developments along washes. The image on the right, which shows a little bit of detail, that's an example of how the project will be handling the slope on the east side of the project. There's been a couple questions about drainage coming down those slopes and how is that being collected. And so those, that detail shows that improvement. There'll be an engineered channel, There'll be an engineered channel on the east side that'll collect any drainage coming off those hills. It'll convey that through the common area, and that drainage will not enter into the rear yards of people's homes, but it'll actually be collected and conveyed to the south. In terms of traffic, the project, as previously mentioned, will have full access off of Naraha Drive. It will also connect into Shorecliff on the south side of the project, the Shorecliff connection being exit only. As part of the improvements to Naraha Drive, this project will widen the road, Naraha Drive, in order to install a left turn lane, very similar to the existing subdivision to the east, Push Ridge Vistas, which has a left turn into that project as well. A couple questions came up about a right turn lane. This project does not numerically warrant the construction of a right turn lane. There just isn't enough traffic. Not enough traffic developed from this project and not enough traffic on Naraha Drive itself. And really, if you look at Naraha Drive up and down this section of roadway, you really don't see right turn lanes. There are a few exceptions. The area highlighted with the blue 522, that represents that subdivision with the number of homes in that subdivision. That one does have a right turn lane where you see that blue box. The reason for that right turn lane really, though, is not associated with the volume generated from that development. It's really more related to the acute angle of the connecting street. So one of the things we saw as cars were trying to turn right onto that street is they were really having to slow down because of the angle. But for this project, a right turn lane is not warranted.
Chair, members of the commission, another key element of this project is provision of a public trail. And just wanted to make sure that the commission's aware that there is a regional plan trail, and the plans do need to be updated to reflect that and warrant more detail. So this evening we'll be asking if the commission moves to recommend approval to add a condition to ensure that prior to council review that the access trail is detailed relative to signage, maintenance responsibilities, et cetera, prior to council review. In terms of public outreach, an informational video was provided. There were two neighborhood meetings that were well attended, received a lot of significant feedback, and that's reflected in your packet. And I'm aware quite a few commissioners were in attendance at both of those meetings. You can read the list of common themes, and I'm sure we will be discussing those more this evening. In summary, staff finds that this proposal does meet all the zoning requirements. And want to punctuate that the helpful aspect of this development and moving beyond simply meeting its entitlements is providing a regional drainage benefit by building a basin that's larger than what is needed to accommodate the subdivision to help mitigate downstream drainage through the Highlands Mobile Home Park. As reflected in your report, that is a drainage basin that there will be a request for council consideration to accept dedication and maintenance responsibilities because it is a regionally benefiting drainage basin beyond this subdivision. As I mentioned just a moment ago, if the commission recommends approval, we'd ask that more detail be provided regarding the trail as part of the motion and condition. And if it pleases the commission, this wording would do the job. And I'd be glad to flip back to this slide when warranted. So with that, Chair, I want to close the staff presentation, and I'm aware the applicant is prepared to present as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vela. I believe we have the applicant here, Mr. Paul Olin.
Good evening, Commission. Paul Oland representing the property owner. Staff, as often happens, covered most of the main points, but what I'm going to do is spend a little bit of time just providing some highlights. I don't want to be repetitive, but I do think there are some aspects of this development that deserve highlighting. So as you can see, this is a similar slide to what staff showed with the existing approved plan and then ours with some of the other line work removed. So you can see the similarity a little bit more clearly. The road alignment actually was effectively dictated a long time ago when Pima County Sewer was installed. This roadway follows the existing sewer line that runs up through the property and serves subdivisions to the north. So if you've been out on site, you'll notice there's a bit of a dirt trail out there, and that's following the sewer line. And as a point of reference, that's approximately where the road will also go. Staff mentioned access, but it has come up in our previous conversations and neighborhood meetings and things. So I just wanted to emphasize that both access points will be gated. The one on Naranja Drive provides full access, right in, right out, left in, left out, which will be helped by the left turn lane that Mr. Laws mentioned. The Shore Cliff Drive is exit only. So all traffic entering the project will come in through Naranja, and then residents will have the option of exiting to the north or south. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear. This slide here is familiar to anybody who has been to one of the neighborhood meetings. It's been updated. I went through the most recent submittal, the CSP that is in your packets, just to double check the elevation differences between our proposed homes and the homes on the adjacent banks. And this used to say 30 to 40 feet difference. It now says 28 to 44 because that's the actual range on that. So most of them are between 30 and 34. The bulk of the homes are between 30 and 34 feet below the adjacent homes to the east. And as staff mentioned, we've committed to a 24-foot building height, which is significantly below what the zoning allows. But what that also means is that every single home, the top of the roof will be below not only eye level, but actually foot level to those adjacent homes. So impacts to views, although main views are to Push Ridge, but impacts to views into the Wash next door to us will be minimized. And just for the sake of scale, I overlaid the U of A football field on here. And basically, just to give you a sense of the distances we're talking about, if you put the adjacent homes, this is a typical cross section cut right about in the middle of that row, kind of halfway north south on the site. If you put one of those homes, the western edge of it, on the goal line, most of our homes are well past the 50 yard line in terms of how far away they are from the existing homes. Never mind the significant elevation difference. So just wanted to point that out and again reiterate that our site plan does conform to the existing approved site plan that Pima County approved many years ago. We are actually well over 70% open space. Almost three quarters of this site is open space. So that's a significant portion of this site. And almost 30 acres of that is actually going to get dedicated to the town as part of this regional drainage solution here. And that includes the public trail easement that was mentioned. We have no problem with that condition being added. There's plenty of room for a public trail running up and down through there, so we'll certainly get that on the plan as well. That's all I have to share with you, and I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Any questions from the commissions?
May I, Vice Chair?
Yes.
One of the things I've noticed with all the material that we were given, the original design that was handed in listed 45 homes, and now it's increased to 64 homes. And I was wondering if there was an issue, why did you have this increase of homes?
Sure. I don't recall the exact number on the original submittal. I think that was over a year ago.
I believe it was 46. I think it was 46.
46, okay. Well, that's just the result of back and forth. I think on that submittal, the road actually didn't even go through. If memory serves, it stopped. There was a cul-de-sac that kind of went down to about here, and then there was another one that went up to something like that. I believe that was the case. And as we went back and forth during our design and review iterations, we realized it made sense to go ahead and connect those because the sewer is there anyway. And it actually followed the original design a little better as well. So when we added more road, that gave us more road frontage, and that actually brought us more into conformance with that old plan.
So it really didn't have to do, I mean, in terms of actual design, you thought, well, let's just extend, but we'll add more homes to it. I mean, that's the basic reason for it. I mean, you know, from 46 to 64?
Yeah, it fell out of the design iterations, right? Right. When we decided to continue the road down through, which I think included the gating as well, it just made sense.
If it makes sense, you know, that you're mentioning, would you consider of reducing the number of homes?
No, sir. I don't know why there'd be a reason for that. I think this fits really well with the natural constraints. It fits really well with the existing design.
Well, one of the things I'm kind of concerned about is that when we start really dealing with the retention pond that supposedly is going to be holding back the water, as you well know, things change. And therefore, upstream is going to be a lot more development. That means a little bit more runoff. So what I'm concerned about is that do we have a credible retention pond size, and where the water is supposed to collect above the mobile home park? And if we don't get a federal grant to relocate with some of these homes, then I think, you know, there needs to be at least some room that we can manage this a little bit better in terms of drainage.
So it's a legitimate concern. Whatever development does occur north of here, upstream of here, will also be required to retain their own runoff. And I would imagine, given the sensitivity of the watershed, The town engineer would also say that they need to, in fact, reduce it by 10%. So I think that if there is any other development in the watershed upstream of this, it would actually result in a reduction of the flows. And they can ask them.
Thank you, Vice Chair.
That answer your question?
Yes.
Any other commissioners?
Yes, Vice Chair Harrington. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Olson. I just was curious, and I agree with him. He's spot on. You know, it's just, it's kind of amazing the amount that it, where it went from 46 to 64. And I understand what you just said. Okay, but I also have a question in reference to your two-story. Do you have any idea how many two stories you will have out of the 64?
Zero. Sorry? It'll be limited to single story.
Thank you. Also, I have another question. What do you anticipate the value, the price that you'll be asking for per unit, per house there? Do you have an amount that...
Yeah, I wouldn't even want to speculate on that at this point, given the way the market is moving and construction prices are moving.
I just want to point out that, you know, there's $1-3 million homes that surround that area. So I'm just kind of wondering about that.
Sure, sure. Well, I guess the thing I would say to that is that, you know, back when this whole PAD was approved in Pima County, it did include a range of lot sizes, and it tended to put the larger lots up on the ridges, right, where views could be more capitalized on. And for whatever reason, they elected to put these lots in a more depressed area, which it's been said is in a wash. It's actually next to a wash. The floodplain and the lots really don't overlap very much, not much more than they typically do, like a long big wash. But there was a mix of homes, and this is what was planned and approved.
Thank you. One more question.
Yeah.
It's about the grading. Now, the only grading that will be done is in the entry area from Naranja, right in the front there, or am I off there?
So if I understand the question correctly, you're saying the only grading that's going to happen up in this part of the site? I believe so. Give me one second. Correct. It'll just be kind of, it's as crude, but it just follows the improvements there. So it's, you know, kind of like that.
Okay. That's kind of what I was thinking, though. Wasn't sure.
Yeah, the main wash areas, we're not going to mess with it up there.
There will be no cutting of the landfill to compromise the integrity of the other homes, the properties.
No.
Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Nichols, you may proceed.
Yeah, thank you, Vice Chair Harrington. Mr. Olin, thank you for your presentation. I have a question about the how high do you need to raise the level of the homes to keep them out of the 100-year floodplain?
Sure. So it ranges, but typically it's going to be – looks like typically about 6 to 10 feet.
And all of that fill will come from the catch basin, or we need to bring some in?
The plan is that it'll come from the basin, yeah.
And thank you.
Any other questions or comments for the commissioners?
Yes, Vice Chair Harrington, I do have a question. This is Commissioner Bergsma. I'm wondering, given that Mr. Olin has stated on behalf of the owner that they're planning to limit the height of all the homes to single story, if they would be willing to accept a condition of approval to that effect?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Any other questions from the commission?
Thanks.
Hearing none, we're going to go ahead. I would like to open the meeting up to the public here for a public hearing. I'm going to go to the blue cards. The first person I have is Ruth Thompson.
My first question is the fact that the plan from 1986 approved 61 homes, and this is 64 homes. Doesn't that mean that you have to go back to rezoning or reapproval or something? Does anybody answer the questions?
I might recommend, since we have quite a full room this evening, I've written your question down, and perhaps I can have a list of questions at the end. I can go through all questions. I'm sure there'll be a list of 20 or 30. Or it's up to you, Chair. I can answer promptly now, either way.
I think it'd be good if we answer it now. Then, of course, if you have further questions,
I have one more, because he just said he's not cutting any place else, but he's cutting all along that hillside.
Okay.
So, yes, the original mid-1980s rezoning, I think, had some 60 lots. And
61.
I counted 60, and 64 being proposed this evening. So the zoning does not limit the number of lots. It sets a density range. So they have not maxed their density range. So going up to 64 does not negate what was enabled by the zoning.
Okay. My other question is regard to cutting into the hillside on the east side, which was just said that we're not grading the east side of the hillside now.
Mr. Olin, if you'd like
to. Mr. Chair, we're starting to get a little out of order, partially because I think you're maybe a little green as the chair, and we have people that want a lot of questions. Mr. Beyer had it right. It is almost best to get all the questions and answer them all later so we can get through the hearing and you don't end up with a back and forth with each and every individual, although that may be what most people desire. And if there are more questions, we can get to them as well.
That's fine. If you have another question, we'll answer that and get back to you.
Well, yeah, well, that one hasn't been answered, but it's all part of that same question. So where do I submit the video and pictures of my backyard as it is now, so that whatever point in the future, if there's damage, I have proof to the town, builder, HOA down there? Where do I submit that?
We can get all those answers to you in a while, ma'am.
There's like 12, 15 homes on that ridgeline. So
we will answer. Mr. Vell is taking all the questions, and he will take them, remember the questions, answer the questions, and we'll get all that back so that we can get through tonight's hearing. It is a little bit out of order, and we try not to get into a back and forth from the lectern. I'm sorry.
So when will he answer the questions?
At the end, when we get finished with everybody's comments.
Next up, Wally Van Winkle.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Wally Van Winkle, Oro Valley resident since 1998. Some of my questions have already been answered, but I was going to ask one brief question, because you did touch on the fact prices are going up. Any idea of the price range these homes are going to be in? Don't have to answer it right now. I understand. Market's in flux. Interest rates are going up. We are in a recession. Things are going to be weird. Second comment, and it could be a comment or a question, is there any plan to ever develop a property that's north of First Avenue adjacent to Lambert that was laid level 5 years ago or so and has never been developed at all? And yet we're going with new developments where we haven't developed areas that have been leveled out. Again, question for later, however come. I just want to get that out there. We do have a lot of area in Oro Valley that's ready for development, and we're losing a lot of our businesses versus build it and they will come, and it hasn't been happening. We're losing a lot of our good places in Oro Valley. Maybe we need to consider pumping the brakes a bit on some of the development and looking more logically on where we go and how we develop going forward. My comment. Thank you for my minute and a half. God bless.
Thank you. Next, Dan and Robin Tenepi.
I'm a resident at the Highlands Mobile Home Park, and I live next to the Wash. And one of the questions was answered tonight about the catch basin that's there. It looks like it's going to be just to the north of our development. Is there any plans that's going to include, once that water's released out of that basin, because lately that wash has been running pretty strong, and the level of sand and sediment has built up. I've actually seen it now. It has gone up. So I don't know if they have any plans to improve that wash south of this proposed development through the mobile home park at all. Dredge it out, dig it out, whatever, line it. How are they going to do the excess water that comes off that wash from above? That was my question.
Thank you.
Okay.
Next we have Linda Roddington? Reddington, I'm sorry.
Can you hear me? Okay, good. My question, we live in River's Edge 2. Our property backs right into Shorecliff. My concern is, my understanding is the exit from this new development, exit only, is going to be on Shorecliff, correct? What about the construction traffic? Will they be coming in on Naranja, or will they be coming in on Shorecliff constantly, back and forth? Also, if it's a gated community, this new one, emergency equipment, ambulances, fire trucks, they would, I assume, come in on Naranja, correct? I would think so. Also, drainage down Shorecliff. Do we have ample drainage? And that would probably be directed to Mr. Spiker. A big concern, there's a lot of water comes down that Shorecliff. So we got to make sure that we're protected in that area as well. Those are my concerns. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have one other card. Mary Brandenburg.
I'm Mary Rombo, and I live at Shorecliff and Chapin Court, River's Edge 2. Several years ago, 3-4 years ago, they went for 46 lots, 46 homes on the same area. We couldn't do that. How can we put 64 homes on the same area? Doesn't make sense. Another thing, the traffic on Shore Cliff, 64 homes, 120 cars a day exiting, doesn't make sense. Because if their homes are 2342 and 3475, everyone's going to have to work to pay that mortgage. That's my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close open meeting.
Okay, Chair, members of the Commission, I'll do my best to go through some of the questions and provide answers, and we'll certainly be leaning on Mr. Laws and Mr. Spiker for more of the drainage and grading questions. So we'd like to start with asking Mr. Laws to perhaps go a little deeper into the extent of grading into the slopes, especially as it might impact the adjacent subdivision to the east. Mr. Laws?
Thank you, Byer. So the homes, just remember the houses are all being raised. So, you know, when you look at that construction, it's not that the homes and their backyards are being built into those slopes. They're not. Because what has to happen actually is as those homes are raised, they actually have to drain away from those lots so that the drainage coming off the hill is collected before it gets into the rear yards. So there's a couple things happening. The houses are being elevated, and then there's a slope away from the home, the backyard, and then you've got what's coming down off the hill. So the backyards are not being cut into the slope. There is some grading into the slope. The detail that I had on the slide as we were going through the presentation gave an example of what that looks like. So in order to allow that drainage to work, there's a couple areas where that hill will have to be shaved at a little bit of a steeper slope. That elevation is going to vary depending on where it is within the project. It's kind of hard to really get into that detail without showing a plan, but there is some grading into the slope. Those areas will be hardened with what we call riprap, so concreted in rock, so that that slope stays in place and doesn't erode away. If we make that slope too steep, it'll start to erode, so that's why it's mechanically stabilized. So that's kind of the response for that one. Byer, did you want me to go through some other ones?
We'll get there. I'm going to try to keep them in order that we receive them. The next question was, where does one submit potential claims and evidence relative to that? And that would be the town attorney's office. Town attorney wants it to the town clerk. So it would be the town clerk's office, and the town clerk is to the attention of Mike Standish. I will hold the question relative to price range for the applicant towards the end of staff responses. There's a question relative to whether or not the rather sizable development plan for First Avenue and Naranja will ever develop. The site's been vacant for a good 5+ years. The answer is yes. La Posada is currently at the tail end of the building permit process. And we anticipate them moving from the building permit process to construction. Once their financing is set, but right now they are doing all of their very hyper detailed plans. So that development is alive and it's moving forward. It definitely went on hold for a few years, but it's back. It's back into a permit review. All right. So a question particularly for Mr. Spiker. Is there any plan to address how water will be released from the basin? And is there a plan to improve the wash that goes through the mobile home park?
Thank you, Mr. Vella. Commissioners, as Mr. Watts stated during his part of the presentation, the town has submitted applications to the Federal Emergency Management Agency to fund what we would construe as phase two improvements in the area. The hope is to alleviate roughly 144 homes from the Highlands Mobile Home Park. So those plans are intended to deepen the existing channel through the mobile home park and contain the floodplain within that. So yes, there are future plans for this particular area, again, predicated on federal funding at the moment.
All right, thank you, Mr. Spiker. This question for Mr. Laws. Could you describe the concern about additional increases to traffic to Shorecliff, as well as concern about construction traffic and whether or not fire trucks will use Shorecliff versus Naranja?
Sure, thank you. Let's start with the emergency access. So gated communities throughout town all are required to have the proper equipment for firefighters, ambulances, police to be able to get into those gated communities without being obstructed. So there's special sensors on all the gates that emergency services use so they can get in without having to dial in. It's automated, okay? So that's not an issue. Whether that access will be from Naranja or Shorecliff, it doesn't matter. An emergency is an emergency. They're going to take the shortest route every time. So if it's Shorecliff, it's going to be Shorecliff. If it's Naranja, it's going to be Naranja. Construction traffic, we don't know yet. We're not to that stage. Right now, we're talking about a conceptual site plan. We still have to go through, assuming this goes through on its current path, at some point in the future, they'll develop construction documents. We've got to go through a permitting process. We have pre-construction meetings where a lot of this is talked through and figured out. They'll have to secure also right-of-way permits for access into the project. So that's still down the road. I don't know, you know, what that access would be currently. In regards to traffic generation and the impact to Shorecliff, so I very commonly hear that type of comment of we have 60 homes, therefore 120 cars. That's not very accurate. If you look at your own subdivisions, look at your subdivisions in the morning. Not everyone works at the same place. Not everyone starts at the same time. Some houses have one car, some have three. Just because you have three cars doesn't mean everyone's leaving at the same time. So, you know, we utilize national standards for how traffic is generated and analyzed. It's a pretty exact science in terms of being able to statistically determine what that impact will be. As an example, you know, we typically will look at the peak hours, the rush hours for our streets, right? That's typically the morning. That's typically the afternoon. That's when you see the most cars on the road. So when we look at impacts to roads, usually we're looking at those peak hours. For this project, in the morning, it will generate about 50 cars. 50 cars coming and going. So when we really start to break that down, that's 37 cars leaving in the morning. So that's, let's pick an hour, 7 to 8 a.m. You might have a total of 37 cars leaving. And then you have to take into consideration that there's an access point on Naranja and an access point on Shorecliff. Not all those 37 cars are going to exit onto Shorecliff. That's going to be a split. Some of those cars are going to want to go west on Naranja. Some are going to want to get to Oracle, so they may come out on Shorecliff. And then you got to consider that, you know, those 37 cars aren't all at the same time. That's spread out over an hour period, generally speaking. So you may see a car coming out of that subdivision, you know, one car every couple minutes. So the impact to Shorecliff, which already has a very low volume of traffic, is honestly very minimal.
Thank you, Mr. Laws. I would like to direct an additional question to Mr. Spiker, please. Do we have ample drainage control for flows coming down Shorecliff?
For the proposed subdivision, Mr. Vella, yes, we do. The intent is to capture the water from this particular subdivision and route it back into the Highlands Wash at the south end of the development here. Additional rainfall that might be falling onto Shorecliff should have been addressed with the existing subdivision, but the proposed development is attempting to route that water back into the Highlands Wash and not send it down Shorecliff.
All right, thank you, Mr. Spiker. And the last question that I'd jotted down was for the applicant. Any idea or approximation of price range?
Sure, thank you, Mr. Vella. First, real quick, I want to clarify. The question that was asked a few minutes ago is, would there be cutting into the slope that would compromise the slope? I answered no to that because that's true. The minimal amount of cutting that will occur will be armored and engineered as described by Mr. Laws. As far as the price range go, as I said before, we don't know at this point, but it is Oro Valley, so it won't be cheap.
Thank you, Chair. I believe that's our list, and certainly if there are any other questions from Commission, we're here to try to help.
Thank you. Any other additional questions for the Commission? Comments? If there's none, I'd like to ask for a motion.
Vice Chair, before the motion, weren't there two conditions that we were considering?
Thank you. I have to remember this button. I appreciate it. Staff would at this juncture recommend two conditions. Can I have the slide back to the wording and the very last slide? All right, we'll get to that one. So one condition that I'd certainly recommend is phrasing as follows relative to single-story homes. As offered by the applicant, all homes will be limited to single-story. Condition number two is what's before you on the slide, and that's prior to town council review, a public access trail, signage, and assignment of maintenance responsibilities must be indicated on the conceptual site plan with specific details on the landscape plan. Thank you, Chair. And if it's helpful, Commissioner Nichols, the motion can refer to the two conditions as read by staff.
Mr. Vice Chair, I move to recommend approval of the proposed conceptual site and landscape plan based on a finding of its conformance with the design principles and design standards of the zoning code and in accordance with the two conditions that were just read by staff.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any nays? Motion carries. Ms. Sakona, will you please read agenda item 3?
Discussion and possible action regarding a new sign criteria for the property located on the northwest corner of Oracle Road and Linda Vista Boulevard.
We have staff presentation from Ms. Hayes.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Would you like me to wait just a moment, or?
Yeah, we could just wait just a moment.
Okay.
There. All right, you may continue, Ms. Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Harrington. My name is Patty Hayes. I'm with the town's Planning and Permitting Division. We will get started. All right, the purpose for this case is to review a sign criteria for a commercial property. This specific case is related to sign design only. Since the other elements of the development, such as the site design and landscaping and art and traffic, were previously reviewed and approved by commission in prior meetings. Before I get into the specifics about this site, I just wanted to go over sign criterias in general. So what is a sign criteria? The zoning code allows many colors and materials to be used for signs on a property. Properties that sometimes have only one building and one occupant with a driveway dedicated only to that building can install signs with a simple building permit as long as the signs meet the zoning code standards. However, the zoning code requires a development that contains several multiple buildings with multiple occupants and shared driveways to establish a sign criteria for the entire development. A sign criteria is meant to show a unifying sign standard for the development that blends with the architecture, colors, and materials on the site. A sign criteria can only allow signs that are compliant with the zoning code in terms of size, location, and illumination. But a sign criteria shows us how the proposal will be a cohesive design between the signs and the buildings on the site. A sign criteria is brought before the Planning and Zoning Commission for a final decision. But again, a sign criteria proposal must meet the zoning code standards. And even after a sign criteria is approved by a commission, the applicant still must always submit for a building permit to actually build and install the signs on the property, therefore going through another review by staff. So that was just a little education on what a sign criteria is. And so now back to this project. Let's get oriented as to the location of this project. The subject property, which is outlined in blue, is located on the west side of Oracle Road between Linda Vista Boulevard and Desert Sky. The fire station and memory care buildings outlined in yellow were built several years ago on either end of the property. The section shown in green in the middle is currently under construction as the Linda Vista Luxury Rentals. The two locations shown in orange are for future commercial buildings. The new rental homes and commercial properties join the two existing buildings, which now make this one commercial property with shared driveways, which requires a sign criteria to be established. The Commission's focus is the town's design standards and principles in terms of color, design, and materials. This property is unique because it is limited to copper patina signage according to a prior rezoning condition. This is why you see a strong use of copper patina in the proposed designs, such as the freestanding monument signs. The monument sign styles will use stucco painted to blend with the new buildings on the site while using copper patina theme for the primary base of the signs that contain the lettering. In conjunction with meeting the zoning code requiring the zoning code condition requiring the copper patina color, the proposed signs meet the standards of the zoning code in terms of size, height, and quantity. These signs will be placed at the entrances to the commercial development. They will also have signs on the corner, and they will have entryway signs in the residential section. The proposed sign criteria will also set the standards for wall signs on the property. Wall signs are individual letters attached to the surface of the building that usually include the tenant's name, such as demonstrated in the picture for Oracle Family Dental. The signs would be integrated into a section of the building that was architecturally designed to hold the signs, as shown in the photo of the commercial building. The proposed sign criteria will primarily only allow copper patina letters, except if a business has a registered trademark or logo. The proposed signs meet the zoning code standards in terms of color, letter type, and illumination. As always, we look to the general plans, goals, and policies when reviewing the sign standards, and staff finds that the proposed sign criteria meet the general plan standards by emphasizing identification for the center without intrusiveness. In summary, staff finds that the applicant's request meets the town's design principles and standards, and furthermore, it features similar architectural features and materials, colors found on the building. Staff recommends approval, and the commission is the deciding body for this type of case, but again, this is related to sign design only. Unfortunately, the applicant, the sign company, could not be with us this evening. However, there are two representatives from the construction company who's doing the Linda Vista Luxury Rentals who have joined us this evening to hopefully answer any questions we might have about the site. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Nichols, how's the question?
Thank you, Vice Chair Harrington. One question. I'm new on the commission. Do we approve signs for every development? Is that the way this works?
Yes, a sign criteria, if a sign criteria or a master sign program comes before the commission for properties that have multiple tenants, multiple buildings, multiple occupancy. again, if it was just a single building, which we don't have a lot of those in town, but if there's a single commercial building, or also residential subdivisions, those do not come before the commission.
Thank you.
Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman.
There was this issue about copper patina. So if they request, you know, that they don't want to use copper patina, in other words, they can't do that?
Commissioner Sturman, unfortunately, it was a condition of the rezoning case done many years ago. In order to undo that copper patina condition, they would have to go back and amend that rezoning case.
So if there's a company that has a certain logo, a trademark, like, I'm throwing this out, like Ace Hardware. So if Ace Hardware wanted to come into that section that was vacant, would you allow Ace Hardware colors?
Yes, sir. We actually have to allow the registered trademarks and logos. So chances are if Ace Hardware provided us the federally registered information, then we would have to allow that color.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Any questions for the applicant? No? All right. Thank you. I guess I'm going to ask for a motion.
Vice Chair Harrington, I would make a motion. I move to approve the sign criteria for the subject property based on the finding. It is in conformance with the applicable design principles and standards of the zoning code.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any nays? Aye. Motion carries. All right. Ms. Okona, could you please read agenda item number 4?
Discussion only regarding the proposed scope for a housing study.
Ms. Malini.
Hi. Good evening, Vice Chair Harrington, Commissioners. My name is Malini Sims. I'm a principal planner with the Town of Aurora Valley. So our purpose with this item is to discuss the proposed scope of work for the Aurora Valley Housing Study. Guidance for the housing study was initially provided in the Your Voice, Our Future General Plan, with further direction given through the Town Council Strategic Leadership Plan. Further punctuating the importance and timing of the housing study is preparation for the next 10-year general plan. State law requires jurisdictions, such as Aurora Valley, that will have a population of 50,000 or more within that 10-year time frame to include a housing element. A key first step to preparing for the next general plan is completing a background report that's focused on key elements that will be in the general plan. Housing is one of these elements, but more importantly, it is integral to future land use decisions as it impacts most other elements in the general plan, such as water, town services, and traffic. Because housing is such an integral component, and as the commission charged with future land use decisions, we are here tonight to get your input and feedback on the scope of work. So to develop the proposed scope for the housing study, staff first reviewed the guiding documents and state law requirements for the next general plan. The current general plan focuses on meeting the diverse housing needs for current and future residents, whereas the strategic leadership plan expands upon this to analyze the relationship between housing and economic development. Lastly, state law directs us to focus on the quantity and quality of housing options available to all residents. And in addition to the guiding documents, we looked at several other jurisdictions' housing studies and some national resources from the American Planning Association and the Urban Land Institute. The jurisdictions listed on the screen completed their studies within the last 3 years. So some key takeaways that we incorporated into the scope include that the characteristics that should be inventory should not only be with regard to the amount of housing, but also the types, the size of lots and units, as well as the quality of housing, so looking at the age that structures were built. It also should be inclusive of both rentals and home ownership. Additionally, we should expand beyond income to understand affordability and consumer needs related to age, abilities, family composition, residency, and tie housing to other aspects such as economic development. And lastly, we should include opportunities and constraints in meeting the town's needs by setting measurable actions. So through this research, staff divided the proposed scope into four parts to answer the following questions related to housing. So first, what is our current housing inventory? What's our baseline? Who are we and where are we headed? What housing do we need? And then also, how do we meet those housing needs? As you will notice in the rest of my presentation, each part builds upon each other to create a comprehensive study. So the first part really gives us our baseline. It will explain the community's existing vision, goals, and policies from the current general plan related to housing and economic development. It will include a housing inventory that, again, not only looks at the amount of different housing types, but also the sizes of lots and units, as well as the quality of housing. And the quality of housing is also important to meet the state law requirement for the next general plan. And because housing plays such a large role in economic development, this part will also help us understand our economic base, or industries that help Oro Valley thrive. Next, we want to look at demographic, economic, and housing trends to understand our housing demand. Last time we spoke with the commission about the housing study, we were waiting for the 2020 census data release. Unfortunately, that continues to be delayed, but the good news is they have released their five-year estimates for 2020, which gives the town access to data for the demographics and consumer preferences that we want to use for the study. Specifically, the consumer preferences give us a deeper dive to look at what housing needs we have in the community. It looks at household characteristics, such as households with children, households with people over 65, households where grandparents are raising their grandkids, as well as abilities and those in senior care facilities. The housing and economic trends will help us project the needs for future residents. This includes the town's workforce and opportunities to provide diverse housing and affordable rentals or homes. So the third part compares the supply identified in part one with the demand projected in part two. And by doing so, any gaps we have within the town with regard to housing will be identified. As discussed earlier this year with the commission, the town is close to build out with a fair amount of commercial land remaining. Areas such as Rancho Vistoso built 62% of the housing originally planned to support the commercial areas. So this part will also analyze the amount of retail supportable by the existing and projected housing units, which is really important as we have these land use discussions with the next general plan. And then lastly, based on the gaps identified in part three, the final part will identify any constraints, such as zoning or process requirements, that impede the town from meeting our housing needs. It will also include recommendations to alleviate them. I do want to thank Commissioner Bergsma, who provided some feedback on the scope and examples of his work related to housing prior to the meeting. This was also forwarded through email to the rest of the commissioners. Many of the points he provided will likely be actions recommended in the study if supported by the data. Staff will be working with a consultant to analyze the data and develop these recommended actions. However, we did purposefully exclude any possible actions to not limit the scope at this time. The recommended actions, policies, and goals will be reviewed by general plan committees, and ultimately, those included in the next general plan will be voted on by the public. But to fully evaluate the recommendations, this part will also include an analysis of any unintended consequences for implementing those actions. So for instance, if there's any unintended consequences on town infrastructure and services, and the balance between different land uses to create a complete community. So in summary, the proposed scope satisfies the objectives of the town's guiding documents. It also provides critical research for the next general plan to not only meet the state required housing element, but acts as a foundational information integral to other elements in the general plan. And tonight, again, we are asking the commission for your input and feedback so we can finalize the scope and contract a consultant to complete the study. The housing study, along with the rest of the background report, will be provided to the commission once completed, which is anticipated at the end of next summer. And with that, that concludes my presentation, and I'd love to hear your feedback. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other commissioners have any questions or comments for Ms. Sims?
Vice Chair.
Mr. Sherman, go ahead.
You know, one of the things that was brought up by Commissioner Hausberg is, the issue of people not really needing to live here, but actually they work out of their offices elsewhere. And so it sounds, do you feel like we're going to overestimate our housing needs when the pattern of work has changed so much? And the other thing that I know this may be a sidebar, but some people just don't want to live in Oro Valley. Mm-hmm. Some people like to drive here and work here. So has the transit aspects of this housing maybe interfaced with this for us to maybe consider that?
Sure.
So that's why I was kind of wondering about that.
Sure. Vice Chair Harrington, Commissioner Sturman, duly noted that the pattern of living is changing with working from home and people being able to live elsewhere. So that is the residency is something we'll have to look into because there's also people whose houses are vacant 6 months of the year. So looking at seeing what data is out there to try to verify that information, part of the housing study. With regard to transit, that's definitely one of the aspects that housing affects. So with the full background report looking at housing, water, traffic, other town services, that's where the background report will have that relationship between everything to get those deeper ties and understand the implications housing has on those items.
Commissioner Nicholas?
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair Harrington, Ms. Sims. This study is going to be contracted out, is that right? Or is it going to be part staff, part contractor? How does that work?
Vice Chair Harrington, Commissioner Nichols, it will be staff working with a consultant, so it will be kind of a collaboration between both. Well, definitely staff will need to provide the consultant with some of the data, and we'll be working closely with them, especially with the existing goals and policies of the general plan to develop the housing study. So,
and what does the final product look like? Is it a report, a study, a set of slides, or what's the final product?
Vice Chair Harrington, Commissioner Nichols, it will be a report, so a written document, and then we will also, as part of our public outreach for the general plan, definitely be, I'm sure, having presentations. We don't know exactly what that will look like, but it is something that we will be getting out into the community to help with creating the next general plan.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Commissioner Posey?
Yes, Buster Harrington, thank you. I'm not sure how to address this, but it's in reference to Commissioner Bergsma's study that he's doing. I just was curious if he is, and I'm sorry I didn't get on the link he sent. I just looked at it very. Sure. I'm going to go back later and look at it a lot more thoroughly. But anyway, I was curious as to his affiliation. Is it with flippingbook.com? Is it the HAST, the Housing
affordability strategy for Tucson. Is that, I was just curious, the affiliation of that.
Vice Chair Harrington, Commissioner Posey, so Commissioner Bergsma did send those as examples. Those are definitely reports he has worked on and been part of. And so just like our research with the other jurisdictions, we've looked at several reports, and the ones that he sent we will take in as well to kind of look at some of the best practices. But we also want to make sure that housing study fits our needs for Oro Valley, and especially with that economic tie and looking at it with all the other elements of the general plan. So,
also about this affordable housing, is there criteria like age or your income or your ages? Is that something you're going to look at?
Sure. Vice Chair Harrington, Commissioner Posey, yes. So with those consumer needs, we want to look at affordability outside of just income. And so we also want to look at what our needs in the community are for housing. So age is part of that conversation. Ability is part of that conversation, if there's children or not. So there's many factors that will go into what our needs for housing are as a community.
Thank you so much.
Any other additional questions?
Vice Chair Harrington, this is Commissioner Bergsma. If I could quickly respond to Commissioner Posey's question about my affiliation with this. I am involved in this study regarding affordable housing for older adults as a volunteer for AARP Arizona. I'm also a member of the board of the Tucson Housing Foundation, and I've also worked on this with the United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is their elder alliance. So I'm involved with all those organizations.
Thank you, Commissioner Bergsma.
I have a question for staff. Is it a local consultant? I know the staff is going to be working. Is it a local consultant, or is it not a state consultant, or have we chosen yet?
So, Vice Chair Harrington, we will be, we want to finalize the scope first, so we're asking for input from both the commission and council. Once we finalize the scope, we will work with the town's procurement to go through our standard process for finding a consultant. So, one has not been found yet.
And we'll be going through the last general plan to formulate the new general plan. Is that correct?
Correct. And sorry, did you want to add about the
correct? And I was going to add to just, you know, I certainly envision a perhaps a multidisciplinary consultant team, because there's an economic development specialty as well as a housing specialty. To give you an example, City of Tucson had the Eller School of Business as part of a team, as well as other housing professional housing consultant focus. So it's it could be one team, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's, again, a multidisciplinary team. So
thank you. Any other additional questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Planning update.
Yes, sir. Chair, members of the commission, we have quite a few things going on for late August and into September. So perhaps I'll start with neighborhood meetings first. We have four on the horizon. Before hitting those four, I just want to mention we are, our next neighborhood meeting, we're going to start with a new format. The idea is to go toward both in-person and offering Zoom at the same neighborhood meeting. So you'll have the ability to, as a commissioner, watch from your home, as well as other residents, interested parties, and participate from home, as well as in person. So much like we did tonight, we would try to incorporate both at future neighborhood meetings. So that should start come late August. Very last 2 days of August, or close to it, the 29th, there'll be a neighborhood meeting for proposed rezoning at Tangerine and Rancho Vistoso, and that's the northeast corner next to the Safeway. The It's a proposed a rental community development known as Avia. August 30th, the very next day, there'll be a second neighborhood meeting for proposed general plan amendment and rezoning over at the southeast corner of Tangerine and LaToya Boulevard. Another small one-story proposed rental community. Come September, we have two on the books. We don't have a date for them yet. One is proposed rezoning for a property across the street, across Rancho Vistoso Boulevard, from the neighborhood meeting coming up at the end of the month. So that is the northwest corner. Another single-family rental community being proposed there. And then finally, we have a cell facility being proposed at La Cañada and Tangerine. It's a more sizable facility, therefore it requires commission review. Come September 6th, our next commission meeting, we will have a public hearing relative to some proposed zoning code amendments regarding the development review process. Also a public meeting for conceptual model home architecture for a subdivision known as Tranquillo, which is right at the Big Wash Bridge on Rancho Vistosa Boulevard, across the street from Sun City, basically. That was a site plan that was approved some time ago. It's under construction today, and they'll bring in their model homes for review and consideration by the commission. And then finally, at that same meeting, we'll have a study session regarding some proposed private recreation zoning code requirements. So the idea is to have a study session to talk about some findings relative to research in ways that our code warrant improvements. And then after getting some feedback, then we would actually go back and work on specific code amendments. For that same project, we're visiting with the Parks and Rec Advisory Board before we come to you guys. So that's about mid-August. So I believe it's the 15th or the 16th. We're meeting with Pratt to garner their input as well. So we will send you reminders of all of these meetings by email through Gina, who keeps us all organized, and it's very much appreciated. So that's the Planning Division update, and thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Could I have a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, and have a good night.